sometimes in life you find yourself on the right side of the line, where the skies open up and cast a towering shadow, guarding you from the worst life has to offer. And then, that same sky rips away that warm blanket from your clutching arms and casts it into the night. Now, you are on the wrong side of the line. And that's why I'm here, to keep you in line. A line we call the Dry Line.
Now remember the Global Ag Network. That's what I said, dude. Oh.
God almighty, you're not listening.
Can you not hear anything?
I can now, but I couldn't.
All right, fine, damn. We're just watching the Ranger game, as always, and we just saw a WTA&M University player got drafted by the Texas Rangers as the 4,000th pick?
The 4,500th pick of the draft.
With the 295th pick of the MLB draft, the Texas Rangers select Joe Corbett. Pitcher, West Texas A&M University.
You got drafted 90 picks after a high school kid.
Yeah. Way to go there, Joe. Well, everybody, I know everybody's not interested in the Texas Rangers draft selection process, but we are because we watch them every night, so suck it. This is the Dry Line Farmer Podcast, nonetheless, and this is Brent Carlson. I'm your host every time we have this thing, and Landon Nolan, he is my co-host, and we'll go ahead and say our Twitter handles. Mine is at Trader Brent, and Landon is?
No Twit Landon, 44.
We're always supposed to do it like at the beginning of the episode, but we kind of started to forget to do that. So while we're doing that, we're going to tell you how to download this thing. Everybody really already knows, but I try to fill time sometimes, so I just say it. That's on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere and everywhere, especially via the Global Ag Network. That's the network we're a part of, along with a lot of other great and fantastic podcast, Moving Iron Podcast, Ag News Daily, of course, and Girls Talk Ag, and all of those other favorite and world-famous podcasts that are out there. Well, this week, we're kind of here and there and everywhere. I've got a little sprinkler hail to talk about. It was actually a couple weeks ago, but we couldn't fit it all in last week, so we're going to carry it over into this week. And we've got a few more, I don't know, we're just kind of skimming the internet, looking at cool news stories, and let's see, Landon, there was a Catholic principal that got busted at a D.C. strip club during a school field trip, so that always works out for people.
That's good.
Let's see, a cat sparks a $7,500 rescue mission after getting stuck on a bridge for 6 days. Mission fails, pet gets bored and goes home. So a lot of that stuff, there's a, let's see, peacock wriggles free after getting stuck in a pickup truck's grill. There's video. Florida man, always there's a Florida man story, gets arrested for allegedly throwing a corn cob at his mom's head. Thank goodness it wasn't a popcorn.
Keep wasting those corn on the cobs, making that price go up.
Yeah, man, get rid of some of that supply. We'll talk a little bit about that supply and how frustrating it is to be a trader in this stupid market when you have record low plantings on June the 3rd, and they open up overnight 10 higher, and then they end up the next day during regular hours 1 higher, and then, of course, now they're lower this evening. So it's just great and wonderful. It puts everybody in a good mood, especially when you buy out, you know. Anyway,
oh, I know.
So yeah. Landon knows more than anybody. I keep getting deals from HQ, which I suck at, that and DraftKings. So, yeah, we're just kind of all over the place. Landon, you got all your crop in. What's the story at your place look like?
Got the corn in. Corn's been in for a little over a month. It's growing. Need to plant about 90 acres of milo, but just keeps dadgum rain. It just won't. Just kidding. No, I love the rain.
Damn it, rain. What, Landon, what's the milo market now these days? What's it like?
It's over $7 a hundredweight.
$7 a hundredweight. That's what does that pay, Landon? What have you been making the last few years? Been making, what, 8,000 pounds?
No, the best I've ever done is like 7,400, I think. I think last year I had two 45-acre patches. One made 6,000 and then the other one the other stepchild patch made about a little over 2,000, so it all averages out to about.
Do you think stepchildren take offense to the moniker of being treated like a stepchild? Because there's a lot of stepchildren out there that have been treated pretty well.
Pretty nice, yeah. Yeah, like Michael Jackson's kids hanging over a balcony. Or no,
that was his real kid.
Oh, yeah.
God rest. Not God rest Michael Jackson's soul. God help that child's soul.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably shouldn't say that because there's some stepchildren that get treated nice. I'm sure there's some that don't. So.
Yeah, even the redheaded ones?
I
want to know why.
Why do us redheads, or I'm not a redhead anymore. Unless
not anymore.
Unless I got sunburned.
No, unless, you're literally redheaded because, I mean, really it's red hair.
Like freckle-head.
Freckle-headed, yeah. So, I mean, you had to be a red-headed stepchild. I mean, if you're a blonde-headed or a dark-headed, black-headed stepchild, I mean, are they a lot better? Are they treated better? Just, I mean, is it a racist thing against red-headed kids or what?
I don't know why we get such a bad rap.
I mean, Annie only released one. No, Annie's had two releases.
Yeah.
And she was the epitome of a redheaded stepchild. Maybe it comes from Annie.
It probably comes from that, and it probably comes from Problem Child.
God, yes. No, that was John. Was that John Ritter's stepchild?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was trying to hook it up with his mom. Then Gilbert Gottfried, that's where he got his.
They adopted him.
Oh, okay. They were already married.
Have you ever seen the video of Gilbert Gottfried reading Fifty Shades of Grey?
Oh, man.
No fisting, you say? I agreed to the fisting. It's so funny.
The way he reads it is just, I love Gilbert. He's so funny.
What a voice.
It's so weird to hear him talk, like when they interview him and he talks in his normal voice.
I know.
I mean, it's all his screaming and everything. Here's Delino DeShields back from Nashville AAA.
That's what happens when Joey Gallo... Yeah. Blows out an oblique.
That's your side? Your back?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think he's on the... did they change... Am I right? Did they change it from the DL to the IL? Is that a
name? The injured list.
Injured list. No, it's no longer the designated list. Yeah, or disabled list.
Disabled is such a mean term.
Yeah, I mean, because that automatically denotes anybody that's disabled as being less than able.
I don't know. Everybody knows what it means. What's the big deal?
I know. So, what about injured people? I mean...
Well, they need to send Delino DeShields back down now.
Yeah, did he just get picked off?
He got thrown out.
Oh, man. By Baltimore. By a guy with the last name of Bundy.
Nice.
Al Bundy. Jeez. Let's put in the Bat Boy. Maybe he can... Let's see how close he was.
Wait. Yeah, he's safe.
I don't know. Here we go. Okay, so we're looking at the slow-mo. We're coming down. He is tagged there.
He's safe.
I think he's already safe. Okay.
Why do they have to wear a potholder or an oven mitt when they're running the base?
It's their sliding glove, douche.
Still, though.
I still don't understand how they're not twisting ankles every time they step on the base. Yeah. I don't understand that. The other thing I don't understand about baseball is why is the pitcher not wearing a helmet? The pitcher has almost more business wearing a helmet than the batter does.
I agree. I mean, I wear one in softball, and you take some pretty damn close calls.
Yeah, because what's the fastest? Who is the guy that throws the 105-mile-an-hour fastballs?
Chapman.
Aroldis Chapman. And what's exit velocities from Joey Gallo's bat? Like
111.
113.
Did you see when Chapman got smoked in the head and had to get like 35 staples on his scalp? He got hit right in the freaking head, and the ball goes into the dugout. It's unreal. This is a few years ago. I think it was in preseason.
I thought he's how long has he been playing?
Oh, 8 or 9 years.
Oh, maybe. I thought he was. I thought he was somewhat new. Oh, okay.
I mean,
and he's what? What? No, not what.
He can be around for 8 or 9 years and still be like 26.
That's true. Yeah. But Parker Brittle. Yeah. Yeah, who's he play for, Landon? I can't remember. Not the White Sox, is it? Let's look it up.
He was on the Reds, I think, and then he went to the Cubs. He won a World Series with the Cubs,
Aroldis, I believe. Chapman is playing currently for the, New York Yankees, yeah.
Click on his baseball reference there at top.
Okay, let's look. Baseballreference.com, Aroldis Chapman. I know everybody's... Went with the Reds for about, 9 years.
Was he on the Cubs in 16?
He was in Cincinnati, then he was at New York, and then Chicago, and now he's back with the Yankees.
What year was he in Chicago?
16.
Yeah, that's good.
The year they won the World Series, yeah. He's been an All-Star 5 times, Cy Young Award, nominee, placing eighth. And
yeah, look up the YouTube video of him getting smoked in the head. It's pretty awful.
Okay, let me see if I can pull this up on my iPad. Hopefully it's plugged in really well. And while we're doing that, Landon, I am going to ask you to talk about something completely unrelated, so go.
Okay, well, I guess I could talk about the unleashed dog that came and tried to attack my daughter on our walk.
Oh, your daughter. That's right. Your daughter was with you. Okay, yeah. Landon, talk about your psycho episode.
So some redneck was out mowing his yard with his little kid, and they just had this stupid dog running around in the front yard. And so we had our dog and my daughter in a stroller, and we're walking by, and here comes this dog pretty pissed off. And
what do you think he was mad about?
I don't know. Maybe that my dog was getting to walk down the street.
Did you start singing Who Let the Dogs Out?
No, I kind of called this guy some bad names.
Uh-oh. That one's gone. Ailis Andrews just knocked one into the outfielder's glove.
But no, I called him about every name in the book, and he never said a word. So.
Wow, Landon. That was real Christian of you.
No, actually, there's just about two names I called him.
Oh, okay.
One started with an F and the other one started with an idiot. So.
Did you know this guy or was he a complete stranger?
I have no idea who he was. He's just some dumbass.
Probably a hate crime, too, I bet.
Yeah, no, he was old.
He was a gringo?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You said redneck.
But no, he's just some dumbass that didn't put his dog on a leash.
Okay, Lynn, let's see if we can. Well, this is a 3.5-minute deal. No. Oh, I got to turn it up. Or is there any volume?
Here, start it over.
Okay. See that. All right, here we go. Come on. Here we go. Oh! Damn nation! Let's go back here. One more time.
I think they'll show it in slow motion.
Oh my gosh!
He had to get something like, and I'm going to be wrong on this, but something like 35 staples in his head or something.
Oh, my gosh. That's ridiculous, man.
Paul Lessard, the trainer, out. Tomas Vera, the assistant trainer, racing out. Brian Price, members of his coaching staff. The
and a kid that had a great year last year for this one.
Players all crowded around the mound, and Salvador Perez is beside himself over at first base. In fact, he's now slowly walking in toward the mound. It was an absolute line drive.
So if the manager came out, would this be considered a mound visit?
Yeah. You see the umpire come up here in a minute saying, okay, guys, break it up.
So did this happen years ago?
This probably happened 5 years ago, maybe.
I guess they're playing the Royals. This is when he's playing for the Reds. Oh, I mean, I don't guess they don't. A lot of times they don't do that.
All the players that are crowded around.
Oh, I mean, he goes down like crazy. Anyway, wild stuff, Landon. Well, this isn't a baseball podcast, but maybe if we get more downloads, maybe it will become a baseball podcast. The thing about it is I don't know much about baseball. So
how about them sod poodles?
You know what? My brother is actually there right now. So
they got that. You remember Fernando Tatis that played for the Rangers back in the 90s?
No, I wasn't watching baseball then.
His son plays for the Padres, and he was like one of the youngest ever open day starters.
Okay. But
anyway, he's on a rehab assignment in Amarillo right now in Double A.
Oh, I think I saw that in the news. Yeah, I see. Well, cool, yeah. So anyway, back to farming talk. Did we even start with farming talk? Sprinkler hell. It's one of those great things that you get to deal with as an irrigator, and it's a whole lot of fun. I mean, one of the most unreliable things outside of a redheaded stepchild is a sprinkler reverser, and especially on half-milers, they tend to cause the most trouble and have the most unreliability. And when it happens to the same sprinkler, except it happened on one end, and then it happened on the other end. First time around, this happened back in March or so. We were running it back to the stop. Actually, no, we were watering. We were just moving it. Anyway, so this happened at night, of course. Everything happens at night. And it's a half-mile sprinkler, and of course we have everything on our phones so we can see where they're at and everything. And I get a weird, like, usually you'll get a text that says power off or it's stuck or something like that. And anyway, and it'll give you a GPS map of where it's actually pointed. And anyway, so I get down to look at it. I'm like, that sprinkler ought to be about where it's, you know, at the sprinkler stop by now. So I get online and look at it. And from what the map is telling me, the sprinkler is not only not in the field anymore, it is across the county road, which the county road has 6 foot deep ditches landed, because believe it or not, they dug them out and put the dirt back up on the county road.
Wow.
And on the far side, the far ditch, and on the other side of that far ditch are the highline poles. And it's got it pointing like it's went through the highline poles and it's already in the next field across the county road. I'm like, I've either got one of two things. I've either got a complete and absolute wreck, or it's got, you know, just a malfunction or something. So, of course, this is like 10:30 at night or whatever. So I hop in the pickup and haul ass over there. It's about 3 or 4 miles away, and get over there. And fortunately, all it was the end tower did not reverse, and it just climbed up on the permanent stop. And if anybody knows anything about sprinklers, they are freaking mountain goats, and they can climb on the back of a... Like, what is it called? What does Jerry Jones say? A decapitated mosquito or something, you know? Anyway, I could climb up the back of a decapitated mosquito. Anyway, and that's what this did. It just climbed and climbed, and it just rolled over backwards. Unfortunately, it was just that end span, and it ended up not being just a whole big deal.
Was your nephew there to say, the second tower cratered?
No, he actually beat me to it, man. He actually beat me to it, and I think both of my brothers maybe were gone. That I think they were maybe... I don't know where they were, but they were gone, and so I sent a picture of it, and it was could have been a whole lot worse. So anyway, and it took about 6 weeks to get that fixed. Thank goodness we didn't need it, but we got it fixed, got a couple spans of pipe, and had to replace some moving parts there on that end span, but end tower. But so it ended up not being very bad. So cut to here about 2 weeks ago, and we're running the sprinkler around the other way. And it's just what we call windshield wipe. It just makes a half a circle. And the county road runs parallel with it when it's running north and south. So we run it across the cotton. We water it up. And then we make a pass across the corn and water it up. And so we stop it. And, okay, so we get done with that. And then fast forward another couple weeks. And we get ready to start it up again. And it's about... The end tower is probably, I don't know what, 40 yards from the sprinkler stop. So we back it up, and we put it, you know, like a 60% or something to get it over there pretty quick, so we don't have to wait. And so we've got that sprinkler there, then we've got another sprinkler caddy corner up to the north, and one of my brothers is starting wells on that one and getting it going, and I'm over here on this other one starting wells, getting it going. And so I'm kind of watching, I'm kind of really more concentrating on starting the wells up and everything, and I know the sprinkler's going fine. And of course, like I said, your phone will tell you if it stops or something. So I'm like, all right, I got all this. So I get all the wells done. I'm like, all right, I'm going to run over to that end span and make it. And then Baltimore hits another home run, but, you know, whatever. So anyway, I get over there, and it's about getting about 10 feet from there. I'm like, all right, I'm going to slow this thing down so it doesn't bow out and everything and, you know, get out in front of this.
You're prepared this time.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm looking down at my phone. I can do it with my phone, and I look down, and I'm, you know, pulling it all up and everything. And I look up, and I'm like, okay. And I'm like staring at this end tower, and it's still got like 2 feet to hit the stop. And I look down towards the pivot, and about 3/4 of the entire sprinkler is down in the ditch. And like I said earlier, this is a 6 foot deep ditch with about a 60% grade. Incline from the top of the field down into the ditch. So I'm like, whole, you know, I was saying, I was acting like I was getting on to somebody for not having their dog on a leash. So I'm on my four wheeler, so I haul ass down to the pivot to stop it. And as soon as I get down there, safety's out. So I'm like, that, you know, and the end tower never got closer than about 2 feet from the stop. So it would have still kept going if it wouldn't have safetied out. So anyway, so I get down, I'm like, all right, well, I guess all I can do now is see if this thing will climb back up out of this ditch. Because it didn't, I mean, this thing was tilted over like crazy.
Did you start blaring Eye of the Tiger out of your pickup and give it a little motivation?
No, not really. I wasn't thinking straight at that point. But anyway, I reverse it. I'm like, oh, God, I hope this thing will reverse. So I reverse it, and the last few towers start climbing out. And so anyway, I go down towards where the last tower is that's in the ditch, and I just kind of watch them as each one climbs up, and I'm like, Then I start thinking, if one of these U-joints or drive shafts gives out, this thing is going to roll back in the ditch and freaking really have a wreck. So anyway, I get down there, and then one climbs up, the next one. Then I get down about four or five from this pivot. So I'm like, man, I'm going to get out of this thing without a wreck. And anyway, so I'm at the fourth tower, and it gets about three quarters up of the way, and then all of a sudden it goes, and the up where the two spans connect together, the pipe just collapsed and bent down. Fortunately, it didn't fall down. But anyway, and it was probably what it was, or I don't know what the hell happened. It was running straight the whole time. And it's not like we had it on 80 or 90 or 100%, but we had it on 60, and then I slowed it down to like 10. Well, it was too late by that point, because a lot of times if you run a sprinkler too fast, it'll start bowing out and all that good stuff. So anyway, I don't know what the hell happened there. And so, you know, we got the people called, and they're going to – oh, he's off the base. But anyway, so the next day – The next day or 2 days later? Anyway, we got that sprinkler that my brother had started. And this was like in the morning, like 8 or so in the morning. It was coming up to its stop. And so we just happened to be down there. We were going down there to see when it would hit the stop. We'd speed it up when it was going back across. And we watched it walk. It hits the stop. The lever hits the stop and just continues to keep on walking. And I'm like, you have got to be shitting me. So thank goodness we were there this time, so I'll ask down to the sprint, to the pivot and stop it. And anyway, so I get up there, and all it is this little clamp that clamps to the cables, that the cables connect to the reversing arms, and that cable that connects to the clamp that connects to the cable connects to the motor box that reverses the end tower whenever it gets tripped. And it just came loose, and it's not even, it's just like, all it is, Landon, it's like a block. It's got a little block, like 2 inches long, and it's got a slot in the middle of it, and you just got a set screw that screws that tightens the cable down into the clamp, and that's all it is. That's what keeps your entire sprinkler from going out of the county road, the power poles, the highway, anywhere. So anyway, so I have to fix that, and just thank goodness, because we have the big barn there that we're going to tear down. And it would just, I mean, it would have climbed right up on that. We'd have had another complete wreck.
Why don't you just let the sprinkler tear the barn down?
I'm thinking, from the way the looks of that barn is built, that barn's going to win, is what I'm thinking. Okay, guys, we're going to have like a short second segment, because we're already like 22 minutes into this thing. We've got our sponsor this week. Are you looking forward to the rapture? What happens if the rapture comes and you don't leave? And you're still here.
You might be entitled to some money.
Yes. These are also mesothelioma lawyers, but their main work is rapture. And, I mean, obviously it's a one-time event, so that's their main focus. So we're going to have them. We're going to have Radar Ricardo. He's going to give a weather report. And we're going to have whatever the hell we're talking about right after this on the Dryland Farmer Podcast.
Well, howdy there, partner. If you're listening to this, you're probably in a hell of a lot of trouble. And I do mean that quite literally. Are you looking to your left and to your right? Did somebody come through your house yesterday evening like a thief in the night? Well, no worries, because here at Rapture Inc., we're your last stop before that long sleep in the hot place. You heard it right. Rapture Inc., we bring you all your needs for the tribulations and the trials that lay ahead. Once again, quite literally. I mean, we won't really worry about it because, you know, like I said, if you're listening to this, I'm already in the high place on a cloud. Cloud nine, I'm fishing with St. Pete and all those other cliches that, you know, quite honestly don't really, you know, they don't describe what's headed for you. But, hey, you know, let me get back to the story here. Rapture Inc., we've got all of your weapons for those four horsemen that are coming up and down. They've got like 200 million soldiers that are going to come tearing across the earth. And you really won't have much of a chance in all that thing and everything. But, you know, hey, at least, you know, we want to give you a fighting chance until there's no chance left at all. Rapture Inc., for the makers of Tribulation Trials. That's right. You can try to sue God all you want, and we've got the lawyers, because, I mean, let's be honest, lawyers aren't going to get caught up in the rapture or anything. They're going to be down there to serve you. I mean, I saw that Kirk Cameron, movie, Left Behind. I mean, there was some pretty poor acting and everything, but, you know, it was fictional, and so they got, you know, that going for them. But, hey, Rapture Inc., we're here to serve you for all the tribulations that lie ahead.
Hey, did you call 911 when you got that chimichanga stuck in your culo? Hey, my boy, don't you understand anything about that? Hey, this is Reyna Ricardo, and then that's Eddie, old piggy girl. Enjoy that part of our podcast, Weather Update. Well, Brent, it's another week of stormy weather, my soul. I know you got, like, a pizza, a lot of rain the other day. On, like, part of the farm, and then, like, the other part of the farm is, like, not so much or whatever. And then, like, you're watching all these corn stories and everything in the floods in the Midwest or whatever, and you're, like, all counting on it to, like, make the corn go up, you know, like, the price or whatever, and then, like, it, like, completely, like, falls flat on its culo, you know what I'm saying? Hey, but so you can't win them all or whatever. What did they say? You can't pick the top? Hey, I got on top of the illegal sister yesterday. I was, anyway, it's kind of a touchy subject, but hey, this forecast this week, you know, it's looking kind of on the up and up. You got sun some days, and then you got rain the other days. That's pretty much all that's kind of amounting to, but I mean, it's going to be like one day where it's like above 90 degrees for like one day. I remember like when last year, but it was already like 90 every day of the week in June, but and I know you got like a sprinklers off, and it's like saving you money, but then you're going to start showing calves, so that's like eating up your money. So, I mean, hey, you can't win them all, but hey. Hey, this week's podcast is sponsored by Rapture Inc. Hey, but so I go to San Jose Catholic Church, and man, well, they got us all prepared or whatever. But if you're going to be here during the tribulation, they've got all kinds of, like, pickaxes and, like, torches and all kinds of other stuff to, like, ward off the bad demons that are coming your way, my soul. But, hey, hopefully nobody will be around for it because, you know, it's kind of supposed to be kind of, like, unpleasant. This is Radar Ricardo, Adela Serio. Back to you.
Okay, so we ran across something here on the, during our break here while Radar Ricardo was doing the whole, weather and our, sponsor was giving their whole commercial spiel, and, so yeah, crazy lawsuits. So, I've got a couple questions for Landon, and I'm gonna ask him whether or not he would take a, litigation, strategy on these things. So, first of all, Landon, we gotta get our jingle in here. Okay, Landon. Whether you would sue or would you call 911? And really, off the top of the list, I mean, we got to get this out of the way. Any type of butt stuff.
Yeah, I don't think I'd call 911.
What about lawsuits? Would you sue anybody for a lawsuit?
On butt stuff?
On any kind of. Can you imagine any reason you would have the? I would say the balls, but if you would really have the butt, would that make any sense? No. If you would have the balls to sue for your butt. I mean, usually your butt has your balls back, and your balls, I mean, because just geographically speaking, your balls are never...
If I could be big enough of a butthole to sue for something.
Yeah, something like that. If you had the balls to sue for your butthole...
I'd probably just leave all the butt stuff alone.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I could think of that wouldn't be embarrassing if, like, I had a roll of toilet paper and somebody shoved in like a whole like a pine cone needles in there or something.
Oh gosh! If it wasn't really foreplay,
you would sue your lady for a little blue ball on you.
Sue the toilet paper company.
Yeah, they. I bet they've been sued before, don't you think? Maybe it was advertised as foreplay and there was only one and you poked through it really fast.
Got wiped away.
Yeah, everything got flushed into down the toilet and swept under the rug. Okay, so no butt stuff for 911 or, well, I don't know. I mean,
why don't they make like an anonymous 911, like 1211 or something?
Yeah, down on the down low 411 or something.
These aren't recorded.
These are not recorded for your privacy and everything. We know everything's recorded. I mean, come on. everything's recorded. Okay, Landon. And whether or not this is an actual story or not, if Taco Bell ever ran out of taco shells, would you call 911 or would you sue Taco Bell?
I'd probably be more likely to sue.
Yeah, I mean.
And I told you this earlier. I've been to Taco Bell when they ran out of meat.
In Hereford,
yes.
Which is the beef capital of the world.
And they ran out of beef.
There was a little poetic irony going in on that thing.
Yeah.
What about Monsanto? You think you'd ever sue Roundup if you actually grew a third thumb?
Well, I don't know about that, but if there's a chance I could get $2 billion, it may be.
Yeah. So in order to get $2 billion yourself, that means you would have to actually sue them for like $10 billion because your lawyer is going to get $8 of it.
That'd be okay.
Yeah.
I can buy a lot of wigs with $2 billion.
A lot of wigs.
Wouldn't be a redhead anymore.
Men don't wear wigs, yo. You wear pieces.
Yeah, pieces.
Yeah.
How do you like that, Jack?
Oh, man, I always love the Seinfeld references.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Landon, now picture yourself single again. What if the bar ran out of women?
Sue in the bar?
I would be a very rich man if that was ever a suable offense. They didn't really literally run out of women. They just ran out of the women, the ones that would be interested in
your in your league?
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Because there was always women at the bar. But yet, I never went home with one.
I'm pretty sure there was a guy that sued one of the dating websites because he couldn't find a date.
Let's see if we can pull that up here. Yeah. Now, there's this Grindr app. I don't know if we want to talk about this. This is on the Drudge Report, so it's somewhat family-friendly. Ball-gagged man says he couldn't call for help as Grindr hookup robbed him. Yet another Seinfeld reference where George Costanza meets his hooker on the subway and she cuffs him to the bed frame. And she goes, $8? I spent my whole morning on you for $8?
She takes his clothes.
Will I see you again? Shows up to the coffee shop in the bed sheet. Yeah, pretty classic.
I like when he goes up to that woman and he's like, hello, my name's George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents. Hi, I'm.
Whatever. I can't. He walks up to Steinbrenner. I wish I could say the same. But I can't with all these terrible things you've done to this great organization. Hire this man. Everything I've done is a complete sham. I just do the opposite. So back to here's some top 10 frivolous lawsuits. In 92, Stella Liebeck ordered a cup of coffee to go to ordered a coffee to go from McDonald's, was sitting in the passenger seat, and I'm sure everybody's heard of this, in the seat of her nephew's car, which was pulled over so she could add sugar to her coffee. While removing the cup's lid, Liebeck spilled her hot coffee, burning her legs. It was determined that Liebeck suffered third-degree burns on over 6% of her body. Now, that could only be, like, the size of a fingernail, because chances are this fat ass was probably covering two back seats.
Who told you to put the bomb on?
I didn't tell you to put the bomb on. Who told you to put the bomb on? Originally, she sought $20,000 in damages. They refused to settle with her out of court. However, they should have, because then she was ultimately awarded $200,000 in compensatory damages.
I would take a shower in hot coffee to get $200,000. My gosh, so stupid.
That hot? That's pretty hot, Landon. I mean, so our sister-in-law sent me and my wife a text yesterday. She got a story on the internet. It said, doctors say drinking 25 cups of coffee per day is not hazardous to your heart health.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Delano Shields just got bonked, man, right in the back of the shoulder. Ew! And he just, welcome back to the majors.
That's probably without the sugar and all that stuff, though, isn't it?
Yeah, the sugar would have cooled it down. In September 1988, two Akron, Ohio idiots, carpet layers, named Bull and Dyke.
Careful, Brent. They're going to sue us.
Two carpet layers named Bull and Dyke. No, I'm kidding.
You do anything with the drapes?
Gordon and Gregory were severely burned when the 3.5-gallon container of carpet adhesive ignited when the hot water heater it was sitting next to kicked on. Both men felt the warning label on the back of the can was insufficient. Words like flammable and keep away from heat didn't prepare them for the explosion. They filed suit against the adhesive manufacturer's Parachem. A jury obviously agreed since the men were awarded $8 million for their troubles.
If the jury agreed, how is it a frivolous lawsuit?
That's my question on all these lawsuits. Who on these juries?
Yeah.
Who are the idiots on these juries? Like, for instance, in 1992, 23-year-old Karen Norman, sounds made up, accidentally backed her car into Galveston Bay after a night of drinking. Landon, have you ever, I mean, backing it into like a mud puddle and getting stuck is one thing.
Yeah, I've never backed anything into a large body of water.
I've, no, I haven't either. But Galveston Bay, who sings Corpus Christi Bay? I don't know. I can't remember. Is it Corey Morrow or Robert Earl Keane? But I don't think he backed his truck into Corpus Christi Bay. Anyway, of course, this was after a night of drinking. She couldn't operate her seatbelt and drowned. Her passenger managed to disengage herself and make it to shore. Norman's parents sued Honda for making a seatbelt of their drunken daughter. Her blood alcohol level was 0.17. Why she couldn't open underwater. A jury found Honda 75% responsible for Karen's death and awarded her family $65 million. And that, yeah.
Why didn't Honda go and sue the alcohol companies that gave her beer? Because they were 25% culpable.
I don't know why they didn't sue Galveston. In May 2003, Stephen Joseph of San Fran sued Kraft Foods for putting trans fat in their Oreo cookies. Now, is this fat that used to be not fat, and that's why it's a trans fat?
If you're eating Oreos, you don't care about trans fat.
No. Okay, for putting trans fat into their Oreo cookies. He wanted an injunction to order Kraft to stop selling Oreos to children. Once the media caught wind of Joseph's lawsuit, the media blitz became too much for him to handle. He decided to drop the suit.
Oh, nice.
Thank God they weren't double stuffs.
Ooh, I like double stuff. Or maybe the pumpkin spice kind. I don't like those, but...
No, I don't either. And here to finish up, we're probably getting long here, but in 97, Larry Harris of Illinois broke into a bar owned by Jesse Ingram. Ingram, the victim of several break-ins, had recently set a trap around his windows. It's a trap! A trap around his windows to deter potential burglars. Harris, 37, who was under the influence of both alcohol and drugs, of course, must have missed the warning sign prominently displayed in the window. He set off the trap as he entered the window, electrocuting himself. The police refused to file murder charges, thank God. Harris's family saw it differently, however, and filed a civil suit against Ingram. A jury originally awarded the Harris family $150,000. Later, the award was reduced to $75,000 when it was decided Harris should only share half of the blame.
I didn't see that one going to electrocution, but...
No, I figured it was like a mouse trap or
something
like
that.
Yeah,
like a large mouse trap, but... Yeah, I think he should. I think that's probably a just lawsuit on that one.
Yeah.
You shouldn't set a trap that's going to kill a guy.
No, but I don't think it was going to kill a guy. Let's see.
Climb in this window and there's a guillotine that's going to chop you in half.
Yeah, right. Shoot. Okay, guys. Well, long story short is don't abuse our justice system. Don't be a douchebag. That should be just a common moniker everybody should go by.
Be extra careful around Galveston Bay.
Yeah. That Galveston Bay, it's not like a squirrel darted out in front of this chick. It's Galveston Bay. It's been there since the beginning of time. I mean, Galveston hadn't, but yeah. Well, guys, we hope everybody's enjoyed this pointless podcast once again, this pointless episode. We just like to go all over the place. We talked baseball. We talked litigation. We talked sprinklers. So we talk everything that we can think of and then some more. But everybody, so we enjoy that you enjoy the podcast, and give us some feedback. We'd love to hear some feedback, and also listen to the podcast on the Global Ag Network. And until next time, we'll ask you, what side of the line are you on? The Dryline Farmer Podcast brought to you by Rapture Inc. For when everybody else is gone, we're here for you. Rapture Inc. The Dryland Farmer Podcast, a member of the Global Ag Network, All Rights Reserved, 2019.